We had two questions that we wanted to focus on tonight. We invited you to think about, and they are class now about 2.5 months. Melinda, you can mute the chimes now, okay? Thank you. We've been doing this class together for about a little over 2 months, and so we asked you to take a look at what are you celebrating out of the 2+ months of this course in terms of what's happened for you. And then secondly, what intentions do you bring to the weeks that remain? We will be going into the early part of August in this part one of Making Peace with Money. What intentions do you bring to the weeks that remain? So we invite you to hit *6 and join the conversation.
Hi, this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I am definitely feeling celebration these days around this class. I feel like so much gratitude, and celebration goes right along with that for all the different things that it's enabled me to see. And I think that...
What things are you looking at?
Well, like the biggest one, when we first started the class, one of the things that I was really hoping to do was to loosen up some of my belief systems about money and to be open to some new possibilities. And I think that one of the biggest things that I was seeing today when I was thinking about the call is that the whole concept that money does not equal wealth. And I feel like it's just been phenomenal to see how extraordinarily wealthy I am and to really experience that.
So one of the things you're celebrating is that you've seen through the class how money does not equal wealth, and apparently have come to see yourself as extraordinarily wealthy.
Exactly. And even as I just said that, what I love is I just had this completely new insight, which of course is going to be completely obvious to most people, but it's like I am extraordinarily wealthy even financially. It's just that there's a part of me who is always doing that comparison thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I said that, it was great because then I just got to see this whole other layer of, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, duh, of course. I mean, think about where I'm living, you know, the life I lead, you know, here in America, this extraordinary financial wealth. And so it's so great because it's like I feel like, wow, there's another one, you know, another belief system that can kind of be completely reexamined.
So it feels like just this moment you just recognized another layer. Initially, what you felt like you recognized was that you were extraordinarily wealthy in a variety of ways. That sounds like not necessarily financial. And then as you said that, you realized, oh, my gosh, given where I live, given what's possible for me living in this country, I'm even wealthy financially.
Yeah, wow, that feels great. Like, yay. So That's all a lot to celebrate, and I thank you so much.
Uh-huh. And it sounds like those were kind of big beliefs to take on or to see through.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like one of the things that has been so important, of course, is just all of the voices from the Sangha, like, you know, continually getting, it's just been amazing that really, really seems to help me break through my own small beliefs.
Yeah, the conversation that we're able to have through these calls and through the email class really allows us to learn from one another's insights.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm going to get off the phone so some other people can share.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Our next volunteer is here from the Monastery Porch.
Hi, this is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Let's see. What am I celebrating? I through a process of letter writing, asked two people to whom, helped me, assisted me financially for a period of time, and I asked in doing the project to find out what our to get our balance, our net worth, I asked them, what do I owe you? And I would like to find out what I owe you. And they responded and said, not a penny. And so what I'm celebrating is really my response to that, which is really, I really appreciate that. And yeah.
So that response, I sense that response was big. I mean, what you did in order to kind of take responsibility for it, this financial thing with people, and then also your response to the response you got.
Yeah, the response itself was, I mean, it's like what on paper not really big, and on paper in a way it is really big, and also at the same time, it's just having the experience of appreciation and it just felt really good, and yeah.
So, Michael, could you say what it is that you feel like you're appreciating?
I think I'm appreciating generosity, the generosity of the folks who did this for me and have done this.
Yeah, because that was quite generous, wasn't it? I wonder if you're also appreciating what you brought to it.
Yeah. I think so. There was, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that, the thing that obviously that's interesting as a facilitator is what happened in you as you went through this and, like that. So I'm guessing that what you did when you wrote the letters and to find out how much you owed, I mean, that was a different behavior, I'm sensing, than you've done in the past. It was something that you realized that you wanted to do that. And I'm wondering if there's something about the class that sort of made that possible for you.
Definitely. I think that having a process laid out and taking the process one step at a time made it simple and helped me to what I did was I followed the process, and I didn't say why I wanted to know. I didn't do anything else. I just in order to get this my balance, it was necessary for me to find out my debts, and so I did that.
Yeah, and I'm projecting it was also necessary for you to go to a different place within yourself in relationship to that issue that you normally are in.
I'm mulling that one over. I think if nothing else, just openness, being open to finding out, one, and two, being open to the possibility that information could be helpful, and it'll be good to find out what's going on, and so I think I went to a place of openness.
Yeah, and that's great, because that seems like what the class is really all about, isn't it? You know, it's called Making Peace with Money, and it seems like what I've been getting from the class is, you know, the way we make peace with money is we become aware of our relationship with money. And as we become aware of it, then, you know, possibilities open up to us that weren't there before. You know, we see things about it that we hadn't seen before, and it kind of puts us in a place of choice about money and about kind of how we want to be with money. And so it seems like kind of that's what it's all about. And I'm sensing that's that is sort of what happened for you in this process.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael. Who's next?
This is Celia.
Hi, Celia.
Hi. I haven't gotten to the intentions for the rest of the class yet, but in my celebrating, there's just a whole sort of huge thing about dropping secrecy around money for me.
Dropping secrecy around money.
Yes.
Something really, really huge, it sounds like, to celebrate.
Yes. Finding, I want to cry talking about it, finding secrecy is not necessary around money, and I guess I had been believing that my whole life. And, yeah, just being able to talk about it.
And it's so much what conditioning really wants to maintain, and it sounds like you've really seen through it in this class, because it wants us to have all these things that have to be kept secret. We can't talk about them. But you're discovering that's not true.
No. And a sense that money is dirty, a dirty subject to be talking about.
Right up there with sex is another dirty subject.
Yeah, and maybe even more so, because I have actually sort of talked about sex in situations that I sort of challenged that, and I and I haven't so much with money.
So this was a remaining closet door that was closed up until you worked with this class.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And now the
and
door
I didn't
is
even
open.
Know why I was taking this class, and I found out.
Yeah. You knew something was going on that made you sign up for it, but it took a little while to find out it was, wow, I don't have to walk around and keep this a secret the way I have believed all of my life.
Yes. And what is coming with that dropping of the secrecy is I notice that my belly's much more relaxed.
As if your belly's been holding that secret inside all by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it can relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that really is big, isn't it?
It is. It's very big for me. Finding a big thing for me was finding a very small young person who is scared of spending money and mentoring her in spending money.
So
and that again is a more relaxing physical sensation for me.
So the little person who's been afraid to spend money has gotten some mentoring around spending money, and that's created even more relaxation in the belly area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And it, yeah. So that's, I think that's the biggest thing I'm, so what I'm celebrating is that I actually did write down every day my investments and kept track of them online and watched them go up and down every day. And this small person felt that that wasn't her business to look at these huge investments. It was somebody else's business, probably her husband's.
That in a way it was supposed to be secret from her.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I never kind of saw that angle to it. Yeah.
And yeah, that she was peeking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow.
And you did it every day. Watched them go up and down.
Yes, every
single
day.
And watched that belief that somehow you weren't supposed to be doing that.
Yes. Yes. And so keeping track of the spending, but then that was somehow a little more acceptable, but to watch these long numbers in these investments going up and down, that was huge. And you can't understand that. That's not your business. You will misunderstand this information and you will misuse it. That was a belief.
Wow.
Yeah, if you knew how much money you have, then you would spend it frivolously or you would jeopardize it somehow or something like that.
Yeah, so we really need to keep that information from you because you don't know how to handle it.
No. No, it's not my business.
Not your business.
Yeah.
Your money, but not your business.
Yes. And even as we're talking, that's sort of even clearing, more clarity is coming to that. So.
So, Celia, it sounds kind of like your entire relationship with money has shifted in the course of this class.
My entire relationship with money has shifted in this class. Just what comes to me when I hear that and when I say that is just this opening, opening out, and
and all made possible by your willingness to do things that were, it sounds like, really flying in the face of the conditioned beliefs. You're supposed to keep it secret. It's supposed to be kept secret from you. And that's no longer the way you're seeing it.
No. I'm not operating that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do have a voice crop up from time to time. Oh, once the class is over, you can stop watching.
Once the class is over, you can stop watching. And what do you suspect that's about?
Just go back to sleep. You don't need to pay any attention anymore. You've gotten this wonderful stuff out of the class, and now you can relax. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, now you'll be able to relax.
And it seems to me what I heard you saying just a little bit ago was that seeing all of this has caused some relaxation.
So it's like, so I will relax if I'm not paying attention. Then I can relax?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
That's the state of relaxation is possible with the not knowing or not paying attention.
And believing the secrets.
Yeah.
And letting that little girl go out and spend money without a mentor with her.
Yeah. But there's another one coming in now about not knowing. There's this Zen phrase to not know or to be, this is a big one, the not know mind or the mind that's not knowing. So there's this idea that if I was a real Zen student, you know, I would dismiss all thoughts around money or look
just
away
leave it
from
your head.
Money or something like that.
And are you believing that? It's so interesting to watch conditioning pick and choose what it's okay for us to know and when we should not know.
Don't know this, but listen to me. Talk about this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah. But it's not looking at your actual life, what's actually happening in your life. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, because that way you get to see what conditioning's doing to it.
Mm. Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
lots and lots and lots of seeing.
Yeah.
And lots of going up against conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Lots to celebrate.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Celia. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
This is Jennifer.
Is that Jennifer?
Yeah.
Hi, yeah. Jennifer. This is Mickey.
Hello.
What are you saying?
Oh, I was thinking I didn't have anything to celebrate because I looked very closely at my money and saw how things were not going to work from here on out. But then I was, the last caller kind of uncovered something for me, which is the whole thing about it being a secret and
mm-hmm.
being a secret from me. And I realized that, you know, my parents would never tell us anything about money. If we just asked how much they made or how much things cost, they wouldn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the money manager in my household, so here I am not answering myself about
mm.
what's going on with money.
Mm.
And so in the class, I went and looked, and then I thought, well, I need to let the rest of the family know what's going on so that we can figure out how to make this all work. And then I thought, oh, I shouldn't tell the kids. That would be awful.
Mm.
But then I decided to, and they came up with some of the best ideas. So we now have this family project. So that made it kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. So it sounds like, you know, you started out saying you weren't sure what you had to celebrate because as you looked at the situation, you just weren't seeing how it was going to work. And you realized in listening to the last call that there had been in your history an element of secrecy, your parents not telling you the facts, and that now you're in the position to be that parent and to know those facts. And when you did consider for a moment not telling the family, but you did and found out that the kids had some creative ideas.
Yes, and the other thing that I'm sort of laughing at myself about is one of my breakthroughs was to have fun with money, and I just said, when the kids were in on it and came up with the ideas and we had this project, it was kind of fun. So there you go.
Yeah. So there you are. You're yourself having fun with money.
Yeah. Oh, I just hate to admit that.
I just hate to admit that. Maybe the one who said there wasn't anything to celebrate was the one who hates to admit that.
Exactly.
Maybe there's a lot to celebrate.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Tony.
Hi, Tony. This is Cameron.
Hi, Cameron.
Hi.
One thing that I'm not sure quite how to say it, but with in regard to money, I've often I don't know if actually lived on the edge or just a process, but tended to sometimes not have enough money.
Uh-huh.
And what I saw in this class, one of the things I saw is how I can experience a process of someone feeling devastated around money. And I was able to, stop the spiral down and actually not become devastated.
Uh-huh. And how did that work? How did you get that going?
Well, I attribute it all to the class and to... Well, for one, bringing a lot of consciousness to money,
uh-huh.
and looking at, you know, looking at all the subpersonalities involved, and bringing a mentor in. I think that all was just real big part of preventing myself from spiraling down into a place of devastation.
Uh-huh. So before the class, you had this experience of kind of getting sometimes on the edge of not having enough money, but you mentioned that you weren't quite sure if that was really true or if that was just kind of a process that you did.
Right.
Yeah, so during the class, you were able to, with the use of the tools of the class, it sounds like, the subpersonality work and the being conscious and aware and paying attention, you were able to, it sounds like, go a different direction than that usual path into feeling devastated about money.
Right, right, very much so. Yeah,
well, that's
and it,
like something to really celebrate right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, and
uh-huh.
it was exciting to me because it also happened kind of naturally. I didn't say, oh gosh, I better bring in the mentor, and I better look and see who's here. I was just like balancing my checkbook, and I could feel the, oh my God, you know, we don't have much money. I could feel it coming on.
Uh-huh.
And then I was able to make the choice. I guess I was able to choose. No, I don't need to go down that road.
Wow. That's huge. So so when you were having this experience of choosing a different path, it almost didn't feel like you were having to work at it or try at it. It was just kind of a natural thing that you've been practicing this, it sounds like, and that you were aware that you had a choice in that moment when you felt that devastation coming on, that there was another choice, and it sounds like you made it.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yay.
It took some, I know. And it was not, I could feel, even in that, and while I was going through that, I could feel the condition, like, trying to get me to go down the old familiar
yeah.
path.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit of a wrestling match.
Uh-huh. Well,
but I just kept writing.
Yeah, congratulations. That sounds like a really huge turn of events.
Well, thank you. I started not to even share because I thought, oh, you know, this probably, you know, it's not a big deal. But it did feel like that was very important to me, and I wanted to say it out loud to remember
it. And it sounds huge. I mean, here's this pattern that you're explaining that you've done before. And devastation sounds like really a kind of a big experience. And then from there, it just spirals downward. And here at the
mm-hmm.
very beginning of that process, you were able to make a choice and completely put yourself on a different path in that spiral downward. I think that's huge and wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Kim. And I have loved this class. Thank you all very much for all you've done. It's been very, very helpful.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing.
Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi. I don't know if I have anything to celebrate. I've kind of dropped out of the class, and really, I don't know what part of me made me make the call tonight because I'm feeling really bad about myself. But I'm glad I did call because if I didn't, I would feel worse than I feel right now.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah, that double bind conditioning puts us into. You lose no matter what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And
I
guess
do you have a sense about what you would celebrate?
I really don't know. I'm just feeling so bad that, you know, like I kind of dropped out at about day 18 and continued, you know, to read the online responses and the online homework. But didn't do it, and mm-hmm. I know.
What did it take?
Go ahead.
Sorry. What did it take for you to be able to come make this call?
It took a lot. It really took a lot. I made the decision in like the last 10 minutes. What kept going through my mind was, you feel so bad now. Imagine how you're going to feel if you don't make it. And that's what made me make it. Was that I was going to feel worse if I didn't.
Uh huh.
So I would have felt. More of, I hate using this word because it's such a strong word, but more of a failure because that's what I kind of feel like. Even though I've read over, you know, all the things that Sherry said, you know, if you stop in the book, making a change for good, you know, if you stop
yes.
just restart again and all. You know, I've read that, and I keep trying to restart, but the motivation just doesn't seem to be there. I don't know what's going on. I'm feeling confused, and I'm sure conditioning is doing this, but I have no idea what my intentions are for the next 2 weeks. I don't know. I feel like I'm just floating around in space, but I am glad that I called because I feel more connected than I would have had I not called.
Oh, absolutely. That's what conditioning is trying to get us to do, to get off on our own and then with it, pretty much.
Right.
So that it can
right.
just make us feel bad about all sorts of things. And
right.
it's true what you said about what Sherry says in making a change for good. And I was just looking at that myself, was that, you know, the whole process is just to see how conditioning tries to get us to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the point isn't actually to do anything in particular other than to see how it is that we are stopped from doing things and recommitting and trying again and seeing how it stops us from doing even that.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So it's really, yeah.
And to see the suffering, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I was suffering greatly before I called, and it, you know, my conditioning was talking me into suffering even greater by not calling.
Oh,
and,
of course, yeah.
Yeah,
just let me tell you what to do.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I'm glad that I called. If I have anything to celebrate, it's me calling. And,
yes, absolutely. That's exactly what I was hoping you'd see from that, is that you really stood up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, conditioning would just have you go off in a corner with it, and you said, well, no thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm really glad I called, and I'm glad I spoke up, too, because I was hesitating to speak about my failure, but I'm glad that I did.
Even the way it would frame it, yep.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye, Jerry.
Okay, bye now.
Hi, this is John.
John?
Yes, John.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah,
how are you?
Okay, very good. Thank you. My insight today when I was out running was that if ending suffering is more important than anything, we'll end suffering. If it's not, we won't. And I'm behind in the MPN class as well. And, you know, I realized that suddenly work got real busy about 2 weeks ago, and I was immersed in that and just kind of dropped, you know, kind of the balloon squeezes out and the MPM got squeezed out. But my insight was that I didn't change my sleep habits, and I could have gotten up an hour earlier, or, you know, because my really strong belief system says I have to have 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep every night, whether I need it or not, or I feel good or not about it. It's just really ingrained. And that has priority, believe it or not, over the potential, anyways, of ending suffering in this particular class, because I certainly didn't change that habit. It just seems very, very fixed.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting to see that today.
So it's interesting because several people have spoken about the power of beliefs to tell us what we need and who we are. And
right.
So what you found in your jogging today was that this belief that you have to have a certain amount of sleep has really gotten in the way of your making time for the money class as business has gotten tighter. But what you're doing, it sounds like, is questioning whether that belief is true at all.
Well, it's true. It's certainly the belief is not true if I'm paying attention. I need more sleep or less sleep, or I'm tired but I can mentor myself. The whole belief system really struck me more profoundly than ever that this belief system had a priority above ending suffering.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, until we see through them, that's what beliefs do, is they have priority over ending suffering, and as a result, we suffer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it was just, and I'm not sure where it's going, but it was just interesting to just really kind of get that and kind of go, oh, man, that was... That's really a belief system that's controlling my life in many ways.
And when you had that insight, what was that experience like for you?
It's well, immediately my mind came in and said, well, okay, now it's time to tackle the quote-unquote sleep issue, or, it tried to come in, and you know, nice thing about running is I just kept running with it and being with just the awareness of the belief.
Uh-huh. So there was an awareness, and then someone wanted to come in and say, now, what's the program that we're going to do to take this on? Is that right?
Right, exactly. And
yeah, and which would
have
sort
able
of...
to...
Go ahead.
I was able to kind of run through that mind chatter coming in to take control of how this was going to happen now that I had this insight.
Right, right. So you didn't let it get taken away from you by someone imposing a program.
Exactly. And the answer to me as I was running was just kind of, you know, if I need 8 hours, great. But just be aware of, you know, just more awareness. It's more awareness practice, quite frankly. And if I'm happy and bounding up at 5 hours or 6 hours, then go for it. It's not the belief that's driving. It's the, in a sense, the body or the fatigue level.
Right. So what's opened up for you is the possibility that you can just check out with your body how much sleep you need.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's very exciting.
Well, it is. And the other way is if I'm tired, then, you know, it's time to call in a mentor and or the mentor and say, okay, yeah, got it. We need to do this and not get beat up about that either.
Right. Not get beaten up about anything.
Right. Yeah, of course.
And if what's occurring to me as I listen to you is if the sleep belief no longer has to control you with regard to the money course, it no longer has to control you with regard to anything, really.
Well, that's right. It's bigger than the money question. That was just kind of a framework for this insight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks for your feedback and reflection.
Okay.
Righto.
Bye bye.
Hi, this is Judy.
Hi, this is Patty. Hello. This is Patty.
Was that Patty?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I am celebrating doing the 30-day retreat for the first time.
All right.
I had the book for years and, you know, read it like 2 years ago, I think was the first time I read it. And, you know, a few times I've
Patty, are you still there? Let's give her another second, see if she comes back. Okay, maybe we can come back to Patty in a minute. There was someone else who had something to share. Who was that?
Hi, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Dave. Well, one thing, the biggest thing I've noticed on this class is that something really important always comes up, and that happened last fall with the Living Beyond Karma class. Preparation for Thanksgiving came up, and that was really important, and so the class kind of went by the wayside, and this time it was last month of school for the kids, and then a trip out of town, and then...
So the really important you're talking about is in big quotation marks.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Yes, in big quotes, and also that's one. And then the other thing is that it's always the last thing to do. Okay, the kids are in bed, and then we're going to clean the kitchen, and then get all ready for the next day. And now it's 10 o'clock, and we're tired. Okay, get out the, you know, and it's this last thing, and then oh gosh, I'll just do it tomorrow. I'm tired. Blah 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 blah. So those two things sort of conspired. Against me in this particular class.
Yeah, and so why do you think that would be so, that it would be set up in a way that would make it so hard to succeed?
Oh, well, so I don't see anything, and so because doing the class is paying attention, and conditioning doesn't allow me to pay attention, so it'll throw everything else up to be perceived.
Because something's going to happen, right? We might not know what it is, but... You know, if you pay attention, something's going to open up. You're going to have some insights. You're going to see stuff. Your energy might start moving in a way that it wasn't before. You might be a little happier. You might be more peaceful. You know, something good's going to come of that. So we can't
mm-hmm.
have any of that.
Oh,
you know,
no, yes.
Yeah, cleaning the kitchen is way more important than peace of mind or happiness or anything of that nature.
The dishes must be washed. Yeah, and I guess... when it came down to the how you're going to celebrate, it was because I came into this call a little bit late, and then so I found out that was how you're going to celebrate. And my first response was, well, I wasn't going to because I didn't finish the 30-day retreat, even though I have been. Actually, I've been very good about keeping track of all the money. I've been doing that every day, every little thing, down to the penny, and that's been interesting to see. But my first – go ahead.
I was just going to say, so if you take any opinions that conditioning has about it, how would you say what you want to celebrate about the class so far or what you've seen in it?
Say that again?
If you take away I hear happening is there's a – you know, you're into it. You're into awareness practice. You're excited about it. You want to do the class. But in spite of that, or even actually sort of because of that, conditioning's got this self-sabotage campaign going on to take that away from you, to make sure you don't see anything, like we were talking about a minute ago. And one of the things that it wants to take away from you is any idea that you have anything to celebrate, because, you know, you don't deserve to celebrate anything because you didn't finish the 30-day retreat.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, if you take away all of that stuff, you know, all of the stuff that conditioning is bringing to it, and you were starting to go there already on your own, and just look at, from your own point of view, what's been going on and what you've been seeing, and maybe perhaps how your relationship with money has changed over the past period of time, what do you see to celebrate in all of that?
Oh, well, several things. I know I wanted to say several little things, but several things.
Yeah, that slides in there, doesn't it?
Yep. One, just bringing more attention if I'm going to stop at Starbucks or something. And it wouldn't necessarily prevent me from going in and spending money on a latte or whatever, but it would, you know, bring some attention to it. And I noticed I spent a little bit less money overall, but, you know, I didn't stop treating myself to things. And I would celebrate the fact that, you know, we went through and did all this stuff and looking at assets and liabilities and keeping track of the money each time, and, you know, and it was not difficult to do, and we did it, and that alone is worth celebrating. And I'm looking forward to I'm starting to formulate ways to categorize things and how to, you know, what. As that was last, I think the last email was start to formulate ideas about how to categorize the way money is spent, I think. And I can see a few ways here and there. And, of course, just a general recognition that we've got what we need. So there's plenty of good things to celebrate.
Yeah, so quite a lot of things to celebrate. And the theme in what I heard you say is, you know, something about, you know, a lot of stick-to-itiveness. You know, a lot of willingness to kind of go with the program and do you know, actually follow the assignments in the class and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in the next 2 weeks I'm going to go back and do some of the assignments that were passed out during the 30 days, and because I know I didn't get to all of those, and I'd like to go back and do some of those in the next. Is it 2 weeks that remain or three? I'm unclear on that.
We're calculating here about three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that might be a really nice thing to do for the part of you who really wants to do the class and really is excited about it, and maybe kind of gets kicked to the background a little bit by this other sabotage process we were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
And so as you go forward, Chris, I wonder, can you imagine ways you might be able to set it up so that conditioning doesn't have such a strong influence in your participation in the class?
Yeah, I saw one little way is just to. I'm thinking about getting a separate calendar, or move the calendar out from where it is and make it more visible. Because I know I missed one of the conference calls, forgot about it entirely, didn't put it on the calendar. Some reminders and just on the calendar, and some other reminders maybe around the house here and there. Because sometimes, you know, just to help lift the fog that can come in.
Get past
really helpful.
Those quotation marks around the, you know, the really important stuff.
Yes, yes, and then just figure out a way to, you know, okay, when are we going to do this? And it's got to, you know, figure out, if it doesn't take a whole lot of time to do some of the assignments, and if we just plug in a block of time, you know, after dinner, before bedtime, you know, before the dishes are to be washed, and then do it then instead of waiting until it's late and tired.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, I mean, that would require, I imagine, you know, a kind of stepping back and looking to see, well, what really is important to you?
Yeah.
You know, what do you want to prioritize first in your life? And it sounds like maybe there might actually be some ways to do that, assuming that what you find is that you want to prioritize this over some of the other things you're giving your attention to. I bet you there is a way to that it can be in there while you're still fresh and you're able to do it in the way that you want to.
Yes, I know that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whole world opens up generally once we get past those sabotage processes that conditioning tries to do to us.
Uh huh. Yes. Okay.
All right. Good.
Thank
all
you right, very much.
We're all ready to go, aren't we?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Chris.
You bet. All right.
This is Judy. This is Patty again.
Okay, let's go with Patty, Judy. We'll get to you next.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, sorry, my phone cut out before. I was saying that this is the first time I got through the 30-day retreat.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was really excited about that because I had tried doing it before a bunch of times, and I was just never able to get past, like, the second day or so.
Yeah, and so you actually got through all 30 days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I kind of saw how I had, you know, how the other times I had, you know, why I had stopped before. And,
which is the whole point of the class, isn't it?
Yeah.
The whole point of the 30-day retreat is to see how that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So what I saw was that when I was doing the assignments each day,
yeah,
that I would read the assignment and I would think, I have nothing to say about this. I just would draw a complete blank. And
uh-huh. So we can suspect self-hate had slithered in there somehow.
Yeah, there was a lot of resistance coming from conditioning. And before, when I tried the program, I would just listen to that resistance and stop.
Yes.
And this time
I... Which is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So, but because I was doing this program as part of the class,
mm-hmm.
There was a more of a commitment to see it through. So
yeah,
when
support around the 30-day retreat that made it sounds like it gave you more motivation to keep going with the 30-day retreat.
Yeah, exactly. So. After I would see the resistance to the question or to the assignment, what would normally happen was I would just say, okay, I know I feel like I have nothing to say about this, but I'm just going to do it anyway.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and then what would happen was I found out that I had a lot to say about it and that it was
yeah.
I just needed to scratch the surface a little bit.
Isn't that amazing? And what
mm-hmm.
a wonderful thing to discover, because I would suspect that I don't have anything to say has been has shown up in other places in your life.
Yes. Yes, a lot.
Yeah. And in fact, when you scratch the surface a little bit, there's a whole lot that somebody in you or some several somebodies want to say.
Yeah. So that was great, and then I think the other thing that allowed me to get through the whole 30 days
mm-hmm.
was finally being able to call on the mentor, because that was something that I had never really gotten before. I read about it and I'd heard people talk about it, and I just never really had the experience of it until now.
Yes, which is yeah. And do you have a sense of what made it possible for you to have that experience when you hadn't had it before?
You know, I'm not really quite sure about that. I think that
mm-hmm.
there were a bunch of things that a bunch of insights that I'd had where I was able to kind of see some subpersonalities that I wasn't aware of before.
Yeah.
And there was, I found great compassion for these subpersonalities, and I think that's where I kind of got in touch with the mentor.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. That in continuing to watch and seeing these new to you subpersonalities show up, you also had some compassion show up at the same time and realized you had moved into the mentor with that compassion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and you know what I bet is that's why conditioning didn't want you to finish the 30-day retreat all those other times you tried it.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. But you stayed with it and somehow worked through that I don't have anything to say and actually got to a place where you saw more subpersonalities and you are beginning to have the experience of mentoring.
Yeah, you know, it just occurred to me that, you know, before I ever read the book, I had always believed, I had this belief about myself that I was very self-disciplined.
Uh-huh.
And then I read the book, and it talks about, you know, self-discipline that's compassionate.
Yes.
And I think that conditioning was trying to tell me that I could be self-disciplined, but not in a compassionate way, that I didn't have the capability to be compassionate. And,
wow. Which is true of conditioning, but obviously not true of you.
Right. So every time I would fail to finish the program, I would kind of, you know, feel all this self, I'd get all this self-hate from conditioning saying, well, you see, you're not very compassionate. You can't do this.
Yeah, it proves it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I talk you out of doing the program, and then I point to how that proves you don't have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of lies revealed in your being able to stay with it.
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. This has been great.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you. It's just, you know, it's incredibly inspiring to hear folks do what they're doing in this program.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. So, Judy, are you still there?
I am.
Great.
First of all, I want to say the first thing I need to celebrate is just getting on this call tonight. I missed the last two reflective listening calls, even though I thought about them that day. Somehow I just went unconscious. Today, my husband made me this big sign to put on top of my calendar, and I set the timer like 90 minutes before the call. And it's like somebody doesn't want me to participate. And I had to really, really make a big effort to make sure that I did it. But anyway.
I was going to say, somebody doesn't really want you to, and then somebody does because you did all those things to get here.
That's true. Thank you. Yes, I did. And then when I said before that I was going to talk, I got really scared. I was like, oh, why did you want to talk? You always beat yourself up after you talk. Don't, you know, it's really good that they called on somebody else. But anyway, I'm feeling better now. And what I wanted to say is the thing that I'm seeing is that the truth is that I am taken care of and that I will be okay. I always have been okay, and I have some options, like looking at my assets and things. You know, I do have some options. I'm not going to go under. Things may not be exactly in my time frame, but the real truth is that I am taken care of.
Mm. Wow, that's a big thing to celebrate, the real seeing that you are taken care of, that you are going to be okay, that you do have options.
Right, and I've got a belief that says if I get too confident about being taken care of, I'm going to jinx it or lose it. Mm. And then another belief that says, like, it's better or safer to be humble and to kind of cry poor or whatever. But I just think I'm looking right now that when I knowing the truth and just paying attention is really what helps me to feel more confident. It's not like in a cocky sort of way, which I think that happened to my grandfather 2 generations back in the Depression, got really cocky and got in a lot of debt and lost everything. And I think that's where that belief kind of came down.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
But you're really, it sounds to me like you really have found a sense of the difference between knowing, really knowing that you're going to be okay,
yes.
and then those other things that are clearly beliefs.
Right.
That threaten you with things that are not true.
Right. My conditioning gets me all scared, you know, but really this has been really helpful to just kind of look it in the eye and see the truth and you know, just say, just be grateful that I am taken care of and I am going to be okay.
Yeah, that's a really, really big thing for us to be grateful for, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it may not look exactly the way somebody wants it to look, but it is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
That's really great. And make sure that when you, if conditioning tries to give you any beatings for talking after you hang up, that you look it right in the eye then, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Judy.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
I think that's our time. So we really appreciate, as always, those of you that made the time to be on the call. It's very inspiring for us as we sit here on the porch at the monastery and listen to all of you. So we look forward to the rest of the class, and we'll probably have one final call before this section of the class ends. So thank you all again very much. Good night.